Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Upbeat Dietitians. We are here with a brand new guest today. First guest of season 8, we're joined by Kirsten, and we are talking all about bariatric surgery today. And quick disclaimer, we did discuss bariatric surgery way back in the day, and you may notice that we talk about it a little bit differently now than we did back then. If you guys are a long-term listener, or even more so just recently in the last few seasons, you may have realized or recognized that we've changed our thoughts and points of view a lot in nutrition. So you might notice if you listen to that episode versus this one, we have a lot of different things to say. So we hope that you'll just grow with us, learn with us, and hopefully just be open to a new perspective as we have been.
Yeah. So today, our special guest, Kirsten Morrison, she is an anti-diet registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. She's the host of Intuitive Bites podcast, which we will be on later this year. So definitely be sure to go check out that episode. Kirsten runs her own virtual private practice, helping women heal their relationships with food and their bodies. We're excited for this episode and cannot wait to share it with you guys. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hello, Kirsten. Welcome to the Upbeat Dietitians podcast. We're so excited you're here.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited.
I feel like this is going to be a very therapeutic episode for you and Hannah. So I'm very excited to be here. But we are just so excited to have you on. Love connecting with fellow dietitian podcasters, and the people saw the title, so they know we're going to be talking about bariatric surgery today. But before we get into all of that, start us off with kind of what your day-to-day life looks like right now. Any hobbies, past education, anything kind of you want to share?
Yeah, good question. So I am a twin mom, first time mom to 14-month-old twins. I have boy girl twins. So my life is very chaotic the past year plus. They go to daycare part-time now, which is amazing because it gives me a little bit of a breather slash time to do my work with clients. So my day on days that they're in daycare consists of doing a lot of like one-on-one calls. I also run a couple of group coaching programs for intuitive eating support. And then, yeah, some content creation. I do lots of stuff like that. And then just keeping up with my house while they're at daycare. I'm like, all right, finally I can like get things in order for a second just for them to come home and, you know, be a tornado again. But it's lots of fun.
Taking care of the house by itself is like a full-time job. They do not warn you about that before you grow up and then also get another job as a dietitian. Also, it's a lot.
Absolutely. I know, especially, I mean, for sure. And then throw twins into the mix and it's just like a never ending thing.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned working in the space of intuitive eating. And so I'm sure our listeners who are here to learn about bariatric surgery are kind of like, how do those really go together? But before we get into the juicy stuff though, and how maybe that transition happened, tell our listeners who may not know, what exactly is bariatric surgery? Who is it for? What's all that about?
Yeah, bariatric surgery is a surgery. I mean, they call it weight loss surgery, right? So it's for folks who exist in larger bodies. And, you know, a lot of times they go to the doctor and the doctor is saying you have to lose weight. And they've tried all the things in the book. And the doctor's saying, well, you really have to do this for your health. So they prescribe or whatever, recommend bariatric surgery, weight loss surgery. And the surgery itself has, there are kind of multiple options, multiple kind of levels of severity. But for the clinic that I worked at, there was one called a gastric sleeve and the other was a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. And in both of those surgeries, they are cutting the stomach and making it smaller to some degree. Yeah, so that is kind of the basics of what bariatric surgery is.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely, I'm glad you said weight loss surgery because we haven't mentioned that at one point today. And the bariatric terminology might not be as common or well known. Mm-hmm. How long has it been since you've been out of the bariatric surgery space?
So Interestingly, my first job as a dietitian was in the bariatric surgery clinic, and that was in, I started working there 2016, and then I left by 2018. So I was there for like 1.5, 2 years, and have been out for the past 6 years.
Did your clinic also do general weight management as well, with like weight loss medications and that sort of thing?
So they did not at that time. What was happening at the time that I went into the clinic, that I entered the clinic, is that they had been doing a lot of what they call the gastric band, which is, does not like change the anatomy of your stomach, but it places a band in there to like restrict and, you know, cause you to feel fullness. But it was also causing a lot of issues. So every person that would like come back with any issues with the band, they were just immediately taking them out and then potentially going over into like the gastric sleeve or something like that. But yeah, the clinic I was working at did not do any of the weight loss medications at that time.
Yeah, that's interesting. For those listeners who maybe don't know yet, I also used to work in the bariatric space, so I'm very excited to nerd out about this with Kirsten today. Our clinic, though, it was a little bit more recent, so I started working there in 2020. They did offer weight loss meds, Ozempic, Mounjaro, all that good stuff. So what would happen a lot of times is the patients would, you know, give a go at those medications, and if those didn't work, some of the providers would recommend the surgery as sort of like last resort sort of thing.
This is also interesting to me because I just had a conversation with somebody recently on this topic about how bariatric surgery is literally like talked about as the gold standard of weight loss in this space. And yet, so it's viewed as like, okay, you've tried all the things, you've done all the diets, you can't lose the weight, so like you're just going to go to surgery and then like you're going to be done. And in reality, you really open up the picture and you're like, wait, there's all of these steps and steps and steps, and you keep going more severe and more severe, because even within this, it's your body's fighting back, and it's not quote unquote working long term, not because it's your fault, but because, you know, again, when you zoom out, it's like, oh, at a population level, these things really aren't working for most people.
Exactly. It's so wild how it's always painted as the best thing for your health. We're doing it for your health. It's all about your health. It's just, it's such, they get so much money from that surgery. By they, I mean like hospitals and clinics, whoever's doing it, the doctor itself, if they're not well versed in the anti-diet space, they might fully believe that it is all about your health. But if we look big picture, there's a lot of financial ties going on there as well.
100%. And I mean, when you really zoom out, and especially after having a lot of space from that world, it's like, as a dietitian at the core, getting nutrition, getting nourishment, allowing your body to be fed is the best thing for your well-being. And this surgery literally deprives you of that and causes malnourishment, quote unquote, in the name of health, right? So that's like problem number one, not to mention all of like the issues and risk factors and like outcomes, negative outcomes that come from the surgery, mental health-wise, physical health-wise. It's really horrifying. And then I think of all the clients that sat across from me that were like, yeah, I'm doing this for my health because this is what I've been told is the best thing for my health, and this was the quote unquote responsible thing to do. And their lab values were perfect. Like everything that they had going on, they were feeling great. Their labs were great. The only quote unquote health problem was their BMI. So yeah, on every level, it's just really horrifying that it's painted as something that's supposed to support your health.
That's such a good point, because you're absolutely right. Like they just see the BMI and surgery is recommended for them. And then afterwards, that's when the labs get worse. They start losing their hair. Their skin gets dry and brittle. People don't often know that after bariatric surgery, you're on a vitamin protocol for the rest of your life, because you can't meet your needs through food because your appetite is just so wiped out. It's wild.
Right. Yeah. Or just like the physical limitations of having, you know, a lot of your stomach cut out, and it can't absorb things the same way. I mean, there's just so many, malnutrition issues. And again, right, people don't know that, right? Like, I feel like not enough people realize what the long term is going to look like. And even you mentioned like the appetite changes, right? For so many of the folks that I saw returning back after having the surgery, a lot of them were having issues with, quote unquote, issues with their appetite returning. And right. Actually, I think I've, quote unquote, stretched my stomach. But in reality, it's, in my mind, right, it's just their body adapting. It was that, you know, the hunger hormones figuring out a new way to be released from other parts of the stomach and, yeah, increasing your appetite for your survival.
Yeah, exactly that. How did you transition, or I guess what led to the transition of you working in that clinic to what you do now?
Yeah. So again, first job as a dietitian, I mean, it's not like I was seeking out that position in particular. It was more like I was moving to a new state where my significant other at the time lived, and I saw the job posting and I was like, outpatient work. That sounds amazing. Cool. Weight loss surgery didn't raise any red flags in my mind because I had been steeped in diet culture throughout my whole nutrition training. So anyway, I was in that position, and during my time there, randomly stumbled upon Christy Harrison's Food Psych podcast, which I think ends up being like a doorway for a lot of people. Yeah, I literally don't even know how it happened. I wasn't somebody who listened to a lot of podcasts before that, but it came upon my feed. I went down that route. And really at that point for me, personally as well, I was struggling with my relationship with food. I didn't ever know that. I just thought like I needed to gain more control over my eating and be better, quote unquote, with my nutrition. So it struck me on a personal level, and it struck me on a professional level. Cause I was like, oh, this is why, first of all, these people are experiencing so much weight bias at every turn, especially in the clinic that I'm working at. So no wonder they're struggling and can't get this all under control. And no wonder I can't get it all under control and figure it out and stop like overeating on sweets at night. So it really just all clicked for me. And I was like, okay, I'm in this job. Maybe I can like try to help these people through an intuitive eating, health at every size aligned way, because I don't know. I was like trying to find some gray area, and like, I didn't mm-hmm. know what to do. So I spent a little bit of time. It was probably close to 6 months, like trying to merge that. And I kept butting heads. It just wasn't going to work. So I did whatever I could. And I got out, I ended up moving into the dialysis space for a little while and kind of hopped around until I really went full time in my business.
I was dying to ask you that, if you felt like there was a phase, because I was the exact same, where you were like trying to incorporate like intuitive eating, weight neutrality at a bariatric weight loss clinic, because same. And it was like one of the most confusing, hardest times of my career so far, because you can't do that. That's not a thing. And I didn't realize that until like the last year or two, that you cannot make that work. And we'll get to this question later, but I do want to talk about in a little bit, like for those who have had the surgery, how can they do intuitive eating, so to speak, but we'll get to that in a minute. Emily, I'm sort of nerding out. Anything that you have, you wanted to add to any of this at this point?
I just wanted to note that I was glad you mentioned like when you were looking for a job that the weight loss position was not a red flag, because that's all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And also like why you were struggling as well, is because that's just all you know from like our education. It's just a very weight centric, BMI heavy curriculum. And then just like with the prevalence of diet culture, and we didn't really have the like skeptical lens on yet, because we were students, we were just taught to accept everything as it was and not question anything. But I think that's really important to know, because I feel like it is such a challenging part, like when you're going from student to dietitian, to like really kind of understand what your philosophy is. And then once you're actually in the real world, you're like, oh
yeah,
this is how it is.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I am hearing from more and more people like that there are more influences of like health at every size, intuitive eating in some programs, but even then it's probably like whatever, a class in, you know, a whole semester or something. So there's a long way to go, but that was very much my experience of like not ever even having heard, I never even heard the term intuitive eating or health at every size. And I have my master's in nutrition, right? I have my undergrad and my master's in nutrition. So it's kind of wild how, yeah, at least in my experience, it was never brought up.
So wild.
We were blessed where we had one professor who Hannah and I love. She knows who she is. And she introduced us to intuitive eating in undergrad.
Amazing.
It was a good exposure, but we were like, oh, dang. But it was one class.
It wasn't quite enough. I still ended up working in a weight loss center. So it clearly didn't quite get there.
But you know what is, I'm glad that you resonate with that gray area as well, because it's so
much.
Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense, because it's like, it makes me think of like all the clients I've worked with, or like the conversations I've had with friends and family members where like, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, I get it. But like, you don't really get it, because it takes so much to truly get it at your core, because it takes so much unlearning. So like, it does feel like for a time, maybe I can do something here. Slash, like, there's that argument of like, I really want these people who I think really need to hear this message to hear it. But it just gets to that point where it's so frustrating, and they're sitting across from you like, yeah, that sounds amazing, Kirsten, but the surgeon's yelling at me, quote unquote, like what, like literally what they would say to me, because I'm not losing the weight I'm supposed to. So like, you're supposed to help me with this and you're not. So like, it was this ethical dilemma that just got to the point where it's like, yeah, you just have to get out.
That's exactly it. Like, ethically, it's not good. It's not good at all. And I feel so bad for my patients during that time. Cause you know, I was just trying to do my best as a dietitian, and I knew that like a part of my RD brain knew that like surgery wasn't going to be the long-term answer. Weight loss is not going to be a long-term solution. Like, there's so many other ways to promote health, but you know, I could tell the patient that and they'd be like, oh yeah, totally. That's awesome. I love this. I love your approach. But then they do go see their surgeon or their doctor who's prescribing their weight loss meds, and they're just getting put on a 1200 calorie diet for weight loss, or post surgery is even less than that. But
right.
So they're like getting one message from me, the weird wishy-washy half weight loss, half haze dietitian. And then they go see this very weight centric provider, and I'm sure their brains were just like so ping pongy and they had no idea what was going on. And I just, if you're listening to this as an ex-client or patient of mine, thank you for bearing with me during that gray area, because same. Tough times.
Yeah, absolutely. Same to anyone I worked with.
So tough. Well, we really kind of already covered some of the risks and, you know, why surgery can be so harmful. Do you think there's any other points you wanted to add there of, you know, if like, let's say, for example, if right now a client were to come to you and they were like, I'm thinking about doing the surgery, I think it could be a good fit for me. What type of maybe cons or risks might you bring up with them?
Ooh, good question. I mean, a lot of things come up. I think like, first and foremost, if somebody came to me saying that, I would say, I honor your body autonomy and your decision. And I myself have never lived in a larger body. So like, I don't know your lived experience. I want you to make the choice that you genuinely feel is right for you. I would want them to know that there's a lot of folks who do not see the outcomes from that surgery that they expect to, and that they believe are like going to be promised, that it's like, yes, I get the surgery, I don't have hunger cues, I lose a lot of weight, and it stays off because this is the final solution and like this is going to work. And that is just not what I saw in my experience as a bariatric surgery dietitian. And I think people need to know that, because if they're going through this surgery that literally alters the anatomy of your stomach forever and maybe is going to have a lot of side effects, like dumping syndrome is something, if you have Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, where you just you feel awful when you eat certain foods, you can have, you know, again, the malnourishment. You can have mental health side effects. I mean, especially if you have really used food as a coping skill and all of a sudden you can't use it in the same way, all of a sudden that coping skill needs to shift somewhere else. And there's really high instances of folks like shifting to alcohol or drugs. And that's something that you need to know. I mean, the list honestly is endless. Another big one I think people need to know is like, will your certain labs go into range after surgery? Potentially. Will you lose weight after surgery? Potentially, right? Like probably for a period of time. For a period of time is the key, right? What we see in the long term is that people are slowly regaining this weight. And the studies that they have only go out a few years, and there's only so many people who are really, you know, going into these studies and staying in these studies for the duration. So we don't even know really what happens after 10 years, 15 years. So I think this is all just like, you've got to take this into account. If you decide to move forward, know that it's not the, like the, whatever, the magic pill type thing that it's sold as, and that it might not turn out the way that you anticipate.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up the idea about body autonomy and all of that too, because that's a huge part of it as well. Like, as dietitians, medical providers, whatever you want to call us, like, our job is not to tell you what to do with your body, or, you know, say that you should not get the surgery. It's the worst thing you could ever do. Like, we're just here to help you walk through it, get a better understanding from our professional point of view, what we do know about it. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be your choice what you decide to do or not do.
Right. It's like a, you know, weigh the risks and benefits, and you, yeah, only you can truly know that. Like, I can't know that. Nobody else can know it. Even somebody else that has existed in a larger body, they don't know your unique experience and what it's like living in your body. And what you're willing to risk to go down that path. So absolutely. I think that's a really important point.
Exactly. And there's people who get the surgery and it does all end up as sunshine and rainbows for them. That's a very small percentage, but it happens. And so,
yeah,
I know we get a lot of like stuff like that. Sometimes we talk about like intermittent fasting. We talk about keto. It's always like, oh, it worked for me. Yeah. That doesn't translate to an entire population of it working for everybody.
And my problem with that is always too, like, cause I hear that from clients, right? They're like, but it worked for XYZ person. And like, they have posted all this before and after photos, and I'm really jealous that it worked for them. And still I'm skeptical, because we don't know what 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road looks like for them. So like, I'm still not convinced, and we don't even know what's going on with their mental state from afar. We can say it worked and like they're wearing awesome clothes and going out and like looking like their life is amazing, but like, we don't actually know that.
So you both have talked about all these risks, and we talked a little bit about, there was like one mention of what we're going to talk about next, but I feel like we should just like bring it to the front. Why are medical providers and professionals recommending this? If they have those like potential harms of your mental health, physical health, emotional health, like, why is this being recommended so prevalently?
Yeah. I mean, I think at the core, like, again, we live in this weight-centric society, and it's really seen as like weight loss at all costs, like whatever it takes to lose weight is the healthiest thing, right? It's like weight loss is equivalent with improved health without question, even though we have all this data to show that that's not true. And like, we have all these experiences, you know, showing that that's not actually the case. Everyone's just has this filter of weight loss is the best possible thing. I think that's one part of it. And I think the other part is that in the short term, you can see for a lot of these folks, massive shifts in their health. And hey, if they lose a ton of weight, like, are they able to move easier? Okay. So that might, you know, play into things. Their eating is massively different. Like, everything is massively different. So again, like, if you just look at that snapshot of the short term, it's the same as somebody that goes on Weight Watchers and they, you know, are like, oh, that it really worked. But they're not looking at what happens after that, quote unquote, after photo. So I think that's
so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. At our center, I know that after surgery, they have very close follow-ups, of course, with the surgeon, like every 2 weeks, and then once a month, and every 6 months or whatever. But then it becomes annual. And at that point, patients kind of start falling off with their appointments. And so what you said about, you know, at first it seems like, wow, this is like a really successful thing. Patients are losing all this weight really fast. We all see that part of it in the clinic, but once the patient is 10, 15 years down the road after surgery, they're not coming to our clinic anymore. They're doing their own thing, doing whatever. And so the providers in that clinic aren't seeing that side of it. They're seeing the success, you know, air quotes there, at the beginning, but they're not seeing what's happening in the long term.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it's not like these providers are like, for the most part, out to get people and like wanting to cause harm, right? Like, they believe mm-hmm. that this is the best thing for folks. And they're seeing these people come back being like, I feel so much better. My numbers
are excited.
Yeah, they're like excited. Like, it feels and it looks like it's this really positive, amazing thing. So it makes so much sense why providers aren't realizing the harm that is truly being caused.
Exactly. And of course, weight loss sells. So that's the other reason is cha-ching.
Very good point. Of course. Yes.
Well, how do I want to word this? Do you, I guess I'll kind of share my own experience, then see if you feel the same. I talk with Emily a lot on the podcast here, and our listeners know that we have changed a lot in the last like 3-4 years as dietitians, but I feel very grateful that I did have that job, because now I feel so well versed in like bariatric surgery and weight loss medications. And so I'm able to discuss, like we mentioned, like the risks earlier and like how you'd approach a certain client who wanted to get surgery, for example. Like, I know I feel so much more confident now, like talking about those things with clients and patients, like now as a weight neutral, intuitive eating dietitian, however you want to call it. Yeah. Do you feel like working as a bariatric dietitian, like helped you be the type of RD that you are now? And if so, I guess, like how so?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, mm-hmm. I am so grateful that I, first of all, was able to hear the lived experience of so many folks living in larger bodies and just like seeing their experience, seeing how, honestly, sometimes how they were treated by some of these surgeons and not believed, right? Like they would be saying like, this is what I ate, this is what's going on. And they just would flat out be like the surgeon would flat out be like, there's no way that that's what you're doing. Cause if that was what you were doing, you'd be losing a ton of weight, right? Like I saw these conversations happening. I saw the bias that was thrown at these folks. And I think that I wouldn't have the same perspective. I mean, there's no way I wouldn't have the same perspective that I do today if I hadn't been through that. And I love that I'm able to now work with folks who've been, that have had the surgery and now want to heal their relationship with food in their body. And they have unique challenges because of the surgery that I wouldn't be well versed on if I hadn't spent my time there. So 100%, I'm so glad that I went along the path that I did. And it's, you know, kind of giving me the unique skills that I have now.
Totally the same. Like working with people, I think you mentioned like them, people in larger bodies, like working with people who have these actual struggles in our weight-centric society, like patients come to you crying and you like fully get to understand at least as much as we can as those in thinner bodies, like what they're going through. And I don't know. I don't have much else to say to that, I guess, but I fully agree and like feel the exact same way.
Yeah. And I think the intuitive eating message, the health at every size message still would have hit me. And it still would have clicked in a powerful way. But I think that part of the reason I took to it so quickly and just like hit the ground running as soon as I heard it, was because of that experience too. Cause it really was at that time, like personally and professionally, it just hit all the notes, you know? So yeah. I'm grateful for that too.
I feel like it helps when you've like seen the other side, and then you like, when you're on this side, it's like, oh yeah. Or at least if people like challenge you as well, you have that knowledge background to actually know what happens there. So we kind of talked a little bit about, we've talked a lot about intuitive eating, but for people who have gone through bariatric surgery, do you think it's possible for them to adapt a anti-diet intuitive eating approach despite all of the nutrition recommendations around it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, 100% is the answer for sure, but there are unique challenges. But I think so many people can benefit from, you know, intuitive eating and healing their relationship with food in their body, but like, especially folks who have really been just at the core of diet culture, going through that experience with weight loss surgery. So I think like they deserve it more than anyone. And it's such a powerful thing to stop fighting your body after you've kind of really gone to battle to that degree. So, I mean, I think for a lot of the folks that I've worked with, they're further out from surgery, and a lot of the like restrictions that they experienced in those first couple of years or few years have loosened a bit. Like they have more flexibility. A lot of them have more flexibility in the amount of food that they can eat at one time. And they've figured out over time what works for their body, right? So it's, I feel like it's almost like they have had an increased need to have even more connection to their body than a lot of people have, because it's so individualized, like their own hunger cues and how much they can eat of certain foods that feels good for them. So that's kind of been my experience. It's like these people really know their bodies, and they've figured out ways to eat a little bit more or eat things that they really enjoy. And yeah, it's entirely possible. It's just even more individualized for them.
And I think that's a big misconception about intuitive eating as a whole, like as a framework, which could be a whole other episode, of course, but it just gets taken like at face value of just like, eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full, you know, eat whatever you want. But that's just like not, I mean, that's part of it, but there is so much more to it. And people who have bariatric surgery can do intuitive eating, so to speak. People who have diabetes can do intuitive eating. Like, it's because it is such a, it's a starting point is all it is. And there's so many different ways to go about it, and it is so individualized. But if we're looking at it from, you know, how social media paints intuitive eating, it probably isn't going to be a good fit. But the way that intuitive eating can actually work, and like this anti-diet approach, whatever you want to call it, totally agree that it can absolutely be a fit for someone who has had the surgery.
Yeah. And in fact, like even in the case of like diabetes, like both of these examples, like it's in most cases, like in my opinion, it's going to be the most supportive thing that they can do is go through this healing process. Right. And like be able to have a peaceful relationship with food and not be driven to using food as a coping skill in certain ways, or like struggling with food the way that they have been. It's going to create the most balance and the most, ironically, the most control around food by getting to that more neutral place.
It'll take time to get there too. Like if you've had the surgery, you have likely struggled a long time with disliking your body and doing all these diets. And so it might be a totally different journey post-op than someone who has ever gone through all that and is also pursuing intuitive eating. And that's, again, why it's so important to know that it's going to be individualized to the person.
Yep.
And this is a perfect opportunity to work with a dietitian on it instead of those occasional check-ins post-surgery, like trying to find a dietitian you can meet with regularly that specializes with that background.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it is individualized.
Yeah, which... it is so cool to get that support. In an individualized way, and just having that somebody to check in with, it makes a huge difference in like how quickly that long process is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, yep. I'll save my monologue. That I think is a great segue though, Kirsten, into letting our listeners know where they can find you. If they feel like this was such a great episode, but they want to learn more, maybe they've had surgery and they want to work with you on this intuitive eating approach, let our listeners know where they can hang out with you.
Yeah. So I'm primarily on Instagram at @theintuitive_RD. You can find the link in my bio there to apply to work with me and just mention in the application that you had bariatric surgery and, you know, you're kind of interested in working on intuitive eating from that framework. You can also go to my website, theintuitiverd.com, or check out my podcast, which is Intuitive Bites Podcast.
Amazing. We will leave links to all that below for you guys, of course. We are going to have a bonus question with Kirsten today. So go hang out over there with us. But otherwise, Kirsten, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This was a great episode.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening. We will catch you next week.
Bye guys.